Home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and we want to wish you a blessed Easter Wednesday. In this Easter octave, every day is like a mini Easter. So in the midst of all that we're experiencing, life and death with Pope Francis and the church in transition, we keep our eyes on Jesus, because that's all we need to do is focus on the Lord. Well, we are thrilled to be welcoming Reverend Chris Alar to the show today. Now, he is the Provincial Superior of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy Province of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception in the United States and Argentina. Now that's a mouthful. He wrote and produced the popular Divine Mercy 101 and Explaining the Faith YouTube series, and is the author of best-selling books, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and for You, as well as Understanding Divine Mercy. His latest book has just been released and is entitled Understanding the Sacraments, God's Grace Guaranteed. I like that. With a big exclamation point. He is the host right here on EWTN show Living Divine Mercy, which airs on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. And 2014 to 2024, he served as Father Joseph MIC, the director of the Association of Marian Helpers. Today, he's here to speak with us about Divine Mercy. To learn more about the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, go to their website, marian.org, and we're certainly praying for the weather. On Sunday, EWTN will be giving beautiful coverage. Our crew will be heading up there to Stockbridge, and I always love watching it. It's always fun to turn it on and you think, what are the heavens doing? And they've had snow, they've had sunshine, they've had pouring down rain, but Divine Mercy is happening no matter what the weather.
Amen. What a privilege to have Father on this week with all that's happening, with the Holy Father, as you said, coming up on Divine Mercy Sunday. And here we have somebody that's saturated with the knowledge and love for Divine Mercy. Anybody need Divine Mercy? Everyone needs Divine Mercy. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Well, our guest today is Father Chris Alar. He is the Provincial Superior of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. To learn more about the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, go out to the website. It's an easy website, marian.org. Well, Father, you are a very familiar face to our EWTN family, and we are delighted to have you with us during this Holy Week where we are, right? Yeah. In this beautiful Easter octave with Pope Francis passing. Mm-hmm. We've been all called for a time such as this, right? Yeah. Our lives are not our own.
Things are super busy, but I've always enjoyed you guys' show. Thank and you. You did a great job getting the words. you said the same thing. I always thought, that's too much. It's too big a mouthful. But no, when they called and asked if I could come down to be on your show, I jumped on the opportunity. Oh, so I was grateful because I know you have a good audience, and the audience wants to learn what it is to help serve God more. And there is no greater way than what we are about to do coming up on Sunday with Divine Mercy Sunday.
Share a little bit with us some things that people don't know in terms of your upbringing and background.
Sure.
And we were talking a little bit about wrestling.
Yeah.
And I learned that you were a wrestler.
I always laugh because when I meet people in person, like, oh, Father, I thought you were tall. I hear that from all the people who speak. Even Father Don says that. But I always say, hey, I'm a wrestler, not a basketball player. I started wrestling in third grade, and that was my sport. And it's funny because I was just mentioning to you before the show that some of the toughest guys I've ever ran into were from that same region, Pennsylvania, Ohio, but Jersey, New Jersey. Yeah. Those were some tough. Blair Academy and some other places were some of the best I ever wrestled against.
That's a rough spot. I played football, basketball, but you know, wrestling just seems like you're doing stuff, you barely have any clothes. It's just you and this guy. It seems like a fight, although it's not. Our family found it hard. We had some wrestlers to watch it, you know, because you want to take up for them and so on. But that's really one-on-one.
It takes a special breed. So I don't know if we're crazy or talented, but maybe a combination of both.
How does it compare to wrestling with principalities and powers?
It's real.
You wish you could go back to that, right?
Yeah, and you really, that's what you hear about, you know, in the Old Testament and wrestling, you know, with the whole aspect of, you know, we're going to have the spiritual warfare in our lives, and we're going to have this. And so God gives us the help, though. Like in wrestling, you needed the help of a good coach, a nutritionist, a physical trainer. You needed that. And so what does God give us? He gives us in this time period, especially this octave of Easter, the grace, an incredible grace that we don't want to miss. And that's why I was elated to hear that you guys were open to talking about this, because it is a topic that we need to share and spread far and wide.
Right. It's not just like Easter's over, boom, done, you know? And it was almost like, you know, the Triduum. We lead up. We take that journey. And it's so enriching to our faith. And you want to see yourself in every scene. Who would I be? I hope and pray I'd be Mary Magdalene. I'd be like John. But no, maybe I'd be the crowd and I'd be yelling. Mm-hmm. Or I'd be that Pharisee who's offering the guards money to say, don't say anything about this. Say they stole his body.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I always thank God that in some ways I was born in the time I was, because I'm afraid I could have been one of those Pharisees.
Yeah.
I really honestly believe, because you're challenging my Jewish faith, away with you.
Right.
And so praise be to God that I was given the chance to be here today.
It's so helpful, though, to know them, and God alone knows their fate. But you just think, you know, there for the grace of God go I. So in this divine mercy time, where we need to be a people that are full of mercy, as Pope Francis so led us in that way of being merciful. We had the year of mercy.
Yes.
Now we're in the year of hope. So tell our family about divine mercy.
Yeah. In fact, you just said it, Joy. It doesn't end with Easter. Literally, it begins with Easter. This begins what we call an octave, and it's the biggest octave that we have in the church. Now, we used to have many octaves, octave of Corpus Christi, octave of Pentecost, octave of many different celebrations. Those were all changed after Vatican II. Now, we only have two, the octave of Christmas and the octave of Easter. And the octave of Easter is the octave. In other words, these 8 days, and it starts with Easter Sundays, day one, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The eighth day is Divine Mercy Sunday, is the eight most holiest days of the year. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. These 8 days are so holy, so full of grace, that they're all solemnities. Mm-hmm. I mean, solemnities are gigantic in the Catholic Church. All 8 days are solemnities. It's the only Friday of the year we eat meat.
Right.
Yeah. And so we celebrate. It's big. And why? So to answer your question, and that is because here's the bottom line. We know from the scriptures that Jesus refers himself as the bridegroom. And we know that the Israel, now the new Israel is the church, is the bride.
Right.
Who makes up the church? We do. Here's the gist of it. We know that the groom is coming for his bride. But what did every Jewish man want his bride to be before he could take her home? To meet his mother, to meet his father, and to take her into the wedding feast, spotless. Mm. So the problem is, here's our Lord who comes as the groom. Is he going to find us spotless? And the problem is, probably not. we deal with some things. So there's two main stains that could be on our soul when we look at ourselves, and that is sin. And the result of sin is punishment, temporal punishment. I don't like that word because it makes it seem like God is some kind of ogre, but think of the boy whose dad tells him not to play baseball in the yard, and the boy blatantly disobeys, breaks the window. Dad comes home, and the dad says, I forgive you, son. but you're grounded for 2 weeks, and you have to pay for this out of your allowance. Right. There's consequences to sin.
Right.
And so what we don't understand is, that's a loving father. I mean, my father was a Vietnam vet. I never got away with something unless there was a lesson and loving discipline.
Right.
So how does this all tie together? Okay. The perfect number to the Jews was 7, and that was in regards to time, creation. But few people don't realize the number 8 was the perfect number for the Jews in regards to eternity. Mm-hmm. So here it is. On Easter Sunday, Jesus opened the door to heaven. The next 7 days are symbolic of our pilgrimage on earth called life. And then on the 8th day, we enter into eternity. We die symbolically. Our pilgrimage is over. Just I heard today about Father Pope Francis, this pilgrimage on earth is now finished. Mm-hmm. And so on the 8th day, you enter into eternity. Now what happens? The groom comes for you. You're the bride. He wants to take you to the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is all the book of Revelation. Father, what are you making this up? No, this is all the book of Revelation. You know, Scott Hahn from EWTN here talks about the beautiful, the Lamb's Supper, mm-hmm. about how book of Revelation is not the Antichrist or the rapture. It's about the Mass. Mm-hmm. And so here's how it all ties together, because he talks about, you know, the wedding feast. Well, Christ wants to take us to the wedding feast. But in order for us to be that spotless bride, we got to get that grime out of our wedding garment. What's our wedding garment? Our soul. Mm-hmm. So sin, and the result of sin is that temporal punishment. If there's any of that, Jesus is going to be unable to take us to the wedding feast of the Lamb until we're cleaned up. Yeah. Sin is cleaned up in the confessional, and temporal punishment is a gift that Jesus gives us on Divine Mercy Sunday. Mm-hmm. So here's the promise he makes. This is 699 of the Diary of St. Faustina. The soul that has been to confession, now it could be on Divine Mercy Sunday or even before, like you could go today, as long as you're in a state of grace when Divine Mercy Sunday comes. Jesus says the soul that's been to confession and receives Holy Communion on that day, so either the vigil the night before or on Divine Mercy Sunday, will receive complete forgiveness of not only all sins, but all the punishment that we are owed. That's a loving Father.
And that's so extravagant. That's
what they call it, the extraordinary promise.
Right.
It's incredible. And so what happens? As the groom, he finds his bride now spotless and ready to enter into the wedding feast of the Lamb so that we are clean and cleansed. It's amazing. Mm. Extraordinary.
Yes.
That's
as our God is.
Yes. You know, I remember one season of Lent, and especially as we got to Holy Week, you know, just seeking the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, what do you want from me in this? And he said, watch me in Holy Week, and you'll learn how to be a groom and to be a father.
Interesting.
Because that's what I'm doing right now.
That's exactly
I'm doing
right.
this freely, faithfully, fully.
Willing to die for your spouse. Mm-hmm.
Watch me to do this, because that's what you have to do for your wife.
Wow.
And so I've learned a lot in that. I still haven't done that perfectly, but you know, I'm looking at that. But you're making a good point, because how do I, as the bride of Christ, I am a father and a husband, I want to be that, I'm a man. But how do I become pure? I don't get that part of it. And what you're saying is divine mercy is really key, so that you can be not only a good father and husband, but you're a bride too.
Yeah.
And you're saying that. It's divine mercy and the application even to temporal sin.
And this is the beautiful thing. Father Seraphim, God rest his soul, was very close to Mother Angelica. Mm-hmm. She, in fact, was instrumental in helping Divine Mercy get out to the world through the broadcast of Divine Mercy Sunday. And that's where you had seen some of the bad weather and whatnot. But, you know, he used to say, and this goes all the way back to even before him, that Divine Mercy Sunday is like a second baptism. Now, it's not a second baptism. Yeah. We don't get baptized twice. But it's the only other time where you are given complete remission of everything. Now, people say, well, Father, a plenary indulgence remits sin and temporal punishment. Well, yeah, but you can have no attachment to sin, even venial. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We still get partial. But impatience for me, gluttony for me, I struggle with that. Thank the Lord that there is a day that his floodgates of mercy are opened. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, on this day, my floodgates are open of mercy. Mm-hmm. And this is why Jesus told St. Faustina, divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Say that again.
Yeah, Jesus told Saint Faustina, she recorded this in her diary, divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation.
We need it bad.
Yeah.
We need
it. Everything culminates here.
But even during Holy Week and Easter Sunday, I mean, I think the biggest obstacle to all of that is we as a people of God do not believe how much he loves us.
Yeah.
We don't believe
Jansenism.
Right? And so it's just like, no, he, not me. You know, he didn't do all that. He wouldn't do that just for me, but he would. And so we as a people of God really have to choose by an act of our will to believe that and then cry out, mercy of God, help my unbelief. You know, Lord, form me that I would believe that you love me and I want to bathe in your love. That's what adoration is about, right? When we put ourselves in that place and say, Jesus, transform me and make me the way I'm supposed to be, the way you would have me to be.
We were on our way to the Easter Vigil, right? Okay, I'm just going to tell you this. And we have an avenue that we go down to go there, and it's a pretty rough place. Well, we've been living there 40-something years now.
Lord says, keep the poor.
But we were driving down to go to Easter Vigil, and I'm going to tell you something. We came up on what looked like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
We couldn't get through the street. Wow. There were hundreds of people led by women. They were in bathing suits, but I mean, I thought they were going to take their tops. It was like, couldn't drive. I'm saying, what is going on? Then the day before, we saw about 150, 200 motorcyclists. Most of them are very nice, but these guys were young guys, popping the thing, exposing themselves. And I'm just like, what is going on in this world? And you can really get angry with them and really hate them. And I said, you know, Joy, we have to just remember it enough to bring it to the Mass tonight.
Yeah.
Because you just want to say, well, you know, you're going to get what you deserve.
Yeah.
But divine mercy is about, he's looking for those people.
Yeah, in fact, John Paul too said, there's nothing, and your story is a case in point. There's nothing the world needs more than divine mercy. And this is why it's so important. And in fact, the grace that we're given, as I said, referring to this is almost like a second baptism, because with perfect love or perfect contrition, yes, we can also achieve the remission of some temporal punishment due to sin or an indulgence, as I said. But how many of us truly have perfect love, perfect contrition, or no attachment to sin, even venial? Mm-hmm. I've always laughed that the Detroit Lions are gonna cause me a lot of purgatory time from screaming at the TV. And because, you know, I shouldn't be, but I still have that attachment to my sports. And so this is a way that even us, the rest of us, I always say this is kind of my little analogy. Any snake can crawl out of the gutter, go to confession, receive Holy Communion, and be wiped clean. And people always say, well, Father, what about non-Catholics? Okay, make an act of contrition, just telling God you're sorry. Make a spiritual act of communion, saying, I want you in my soul, like it is for communion. And ask for this grace of complete cleansing.
Beautiful. We're going to take a break at this point, hold you over for the final segment. I know we're just scratching the surface, but everything that we're getting here is so powerful. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Today with Father Chris Alar speaking about divine mercy. I was thinking about what you were saying right before the break, something about a snake crawling out of a hole. I don't know if you're relating that to almost anybody, but it was kind of interesting. What were you talking about?
So mainly, no, we're not calling anybody a snake. What we're saying is we're all sinners. And what does a sinner do to us when we have sin? It transforms us into an ugliness, into a, well, look at what happened with Lucifer. He was transformed into a snake. But you said a key a few minutes ago that we are transformed. And that's the difference between Catholic and Protestant views. The Catholics believe that when we are given God's grace, there's an actual transformation. We're changed. And the Protestant view is more that snow-covered dunghill, if you will. So the comment there was that when we sin, we are like that snake in the garden. We've now been on our belly, and God can give us a chance to be transformed. So that's how we can come out, confession, communion, and be transformed. Mm-hmm. This is an incredibly important day that we can get this free grace.
Right. And we as a people of God, right, now there's a novena, right? Mm-hmm. So people even in this time are participating in the Divine Mercy novena.
Between Good Friday and the day before Easter, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday.
So if they haven't started, can they still get in?
Yes, still make up those days you've missed and jump on aboard. Continue to pray with us every Ascension Press. I'm working with them on the Divine Mercy novena. You can still go back and do it. That would be a great thing before Divine Mercy Sunday.
Father, we just got a couple of minutes or so, and you probably can't answer this in full. So I was just thinking, I mean, the church has always known about mercy.
Yeah.
It's taught on mercy. So why did we need the whole Faustina, Divine Mercy? Because it just seems like we've just kind of learned about this or something.
That's a great point. Yeah. A lot of people have that misunderstanding that mercy began with St. Faustina and John Paul II. Not true at all. Mercy goes all the way back to the Garden of Adam and Eve, where he could have crushed us out of existence. Instead, the promise of a mother, the gift of a mother, the promise of a savior. But you know, Divine Mercy Sunday is not about Faustina. Mm-hmm. It's not about her at all. Mm-hmm. People are shocked. The whole day that was dedicated to the Sunday after Easter, this Easter octave, since the beginning of the church's existence, has been about mercy and forgiveness. The readings that we have on that day about forgiveness of sins were already in place long before John Paul instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy. So to answer your question, mercy is not new.
Right.
This is the message of mercy.
Right.
Benedict said it's the nucleus of the gospel. What Jesus gave through St. Faustina is the devotion of Divine Mercy, the feast, the image, the novena, the chaplet, and the hour. So why do we do them? They help us to live mercy in our life, and that's what's important. So the devotion is kind of like practice to help us live mercy in our lives.
And we all need that awakened.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it is beautiful to have a particular Sunday celebration because we need it awakened, that we as a people of God would not only receive God's mercy, but that we would be merciful to others.
Well, thank you so much, Father. Thank God we have you again tomorrow as we're approaching this Divine Mercy Sunday, and you're equipping us so that we could enjoy it and receive it as best.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here a couple days, especially these days leading up to mercy.
Thank you. Hope that you've been blessed by the show today. Join us again tomorrow. Father will continue to speak with us about divine mercy. There's so much to it. Always been mercy, you know, all throughout the scriptures, all time. But it does seem like the flowers has opened up in this time, and we need it so desperately. The world needs it so desperately, and it seems like one of those key messages God wants to bring to us before his coming, or before we meet him. Let us be ready to meet the Lord. This coming Sunday is a very special way that we can have a greater sense of peace, that we've done all that we could possibly do, and then trust ourselves to the hands of Jesus Christ. Divine mercy with a face. We'll be right back. Well, no, we won't. We'll be back tomorrow to continue the conversation. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.